It is March 3rd, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. At the Digital Transformation of Finance program last night at the John L. Keeley Jr. Center for Financial Services and the Department of Finance at DePaul University, I was introduced to those in attendance simply as the great John Lothian by DePaul Associate Professor of Finance Lamont Black. No other description was given except for him saying, "Those professionals in the room know who I am." Having ascended to greatness, I wonder what I shall do with this. Some of my other favorite great things are the Great Lakes, the Great British Bake Off, the movie The Great Escape, and of course, movies about the Great War. Actually, when Lamont introduced me, I thought he said the grape John Lothian, but that did not make sense as I was wearing brown. Professor Black asked me to make some comments about the history of financial innovation in Chicago, allotting me 2 or 3 minutes as if. I decided to start with World War II and how the markets at the Chicago Board of Trade had price controls except for the lard market. After the war, the exchange experienced an existential risk of having to reestablish its relevance. The president of the exchange at the time was Richard Ullman, father of former CBOT chairman Fred Ullman. Richard devised an academic prize as part of the centennial celebration of the CBOT for the best paper about the markets, and the exchange held a symposium that included drinking sessions at the bar at the Union League Club of Chicago. Those papers were the academic backbone that underpinned the modern era of expansion into financial futures at the Chicago Board of Trade and other exchanges. I also included a reference to financial futures starting in New York, but ultimately succeeding in Chicago. That was the story I told before Professor Black eased up next to me to indicate the time for the great John Lothian was up. Do you want to know what stock is really popular? It is not a surprise by any means. Tesla. The Wall Street Journal reports Tesla stock is more popular than ever among individual investors. The subheadline is net retail purchases of shares total nearly $14 billion so far this year. I have not replaced the $20 bill I put in the basket on Fat Tuesday for the pancake dinner, and I can't remember the last time I used an ATM machine. In fact, I'm concerned I've forgotten my PIN number for my ATM card. The Wall Street Journal has a story titled, "The number of ATMs has declined as people rely less on cash." The subheadline is, "The pandemic drove digital payment surge for many, but those who depend on cash are feeling the crunch." Sometimes when there are layoffs at your company and you survive, you have survivor's guilt and you are paralyzed by it. Well, the Wall Street Journal has a story titled, "How to Be a Good Friend When a Coworker is Laid Off." The subheadline is, "As layoffs ripple through tech and beyond, colleagues who keep jobs wonder how to help." The Security Traders Association's, that's the STA, Washington, D.C. spring update will be on April 19th, 2023. Save the date. The STA also announced on LinkedIn the addition of Aaron Kelly as Assistant Vice President and Director of Communications at STA. She will manage communications and relationships with both external audiences and STA. Nicole Lapp Caffrey is starting a new position as Manager Market Surveillance at CME Group. She has been with the CME Group since 2014 in market surveillance. Ceres Global is March 22nd to 24th, 2023, in New York City at the New York Marriott Marquis. An audience of institutional investors, C-suite executives, national policymakers, and thought leaders will attend keynotes and panels examining systemic risks and solutions related to climate crisis, water scarcity, and nature loss. View the agenda and learn more with the link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From Medium, the headline, The Value of Building Relationships in PR, A Personal Perspective, by David Prosperi. I recently had lunch with a longtime journalist friend, and I was struck by the first words out of his mouth when he sat down at the table. He was astonished and appreciative that I had reached out to have lunch with him because, as he put it, some PR professionals no longer reach out to their journalist contacts to check in on them. How's the family? What's the latest in your world? And what I usually like to ask my friends and business contacts, how can I help you? My comment. The networking artist formerly known as David Prosperi. Here's a press release from the Options Clearing Corporation. OCC announces Megan Cohen promoted to general counsel. OCC, the world's largest equity derivatives clearing organization, today announced the promotion of Megan Cohen to general counsel and corporate secretary effective March 1st, and the retirement of chief legal officer Janet Angstedt in early July. Ms. Cohen will work closely with Ms. Angstedt, OCC's board of directors, and management committee to facilitate a smooth transition of responsibilities. My comment. More change and smooth transitions at the OCC. With so many smooth transitions going on there, you would think they were in the automobile industry. Sorry, that's transmission, sorry. Anyway, here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Justice Department seeks to spread the pain of corporate fines to executives at fault. Under a new pilot program, companies will be able to deduct from their criminal penalties money they claw back from culpable executives. Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco says, The Justice Department is looking to hit law-breaking corporate executives where it hurts, their paychecks. A new pilot program introduced this week encourages companies to leverage their compensation policies to reward good behavior by executives while punishing those who are involved in criminal offenses, Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco said Thursday. My comment, ouch! That is going to leave a mark. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our most clicked item Thursday was the picture of John Lothian napping, that's me, in the back of a session at the AFM annual conference in Budapest in 2012, taken by Pat Kenny. Second was the picture of the most interesting man in the world, Pat Kenny, I took the picture, at that same event in a tuxedo. And third was the webpage to register for this year's AFM 25th annual conference from June 6th to 7th in Budapest. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, from Bloomberg, the headline, Clueless Wall Street is racing to size up zero-day options boom. B of A pushes back on JP Morgan's Volmageddon 2.0 warning. Peter Chair pens a story on zero data expiration life and picks a theme song. It's a time-honored tale. A new force enters the market, quantitative easing, leveraged ETFs, high-frequency trading, and a cottage industry on Wall Street is born devoted to exposing the risks it supposedly poses for investors. Now it's happening again with a new breed of high-octane stock options known as zero-data expiration, or zero-DTE, which allows investors to buy and sell contracts that have a shelf life of less than 24 hours. Everyone from amateur sleuths on Reddit to highly paid Wall Street technicians have joined the fray, dispensing daily theories about how big a threat these quick trigger instruments pose. All right, here's another story. This one from the Wall Street Journal. insider trading cases once deemed too hard to crack are now targets of U.S. government. New enforcement actions focus on executives who used prearranged trading plans. The Justice Department and the Securities and Exchange Commission are hunting for a new type of insider trading case, one that once seemed too daunting for regulators and prosecutors to touch. What distinguishes the new targets is the use of prearranged trading plans, which chief executives and other officers of public companies have historically used to insulate themselves from accusations of insider trading. Executives set up the plans, often with the advice or approval of a company lawyer, and put their often lucrative sales of company stocks on autopilot. And then here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline: there are no domestic equity investors. Why companies are fleeing London stock market. Lure of higher valuations and a deeper pool of investors in the U.S. have sparked a string of departures. More UK companies are drawing up plans to shift their stock market listings to the US, bankers say, in a growing exodus that threatens to undermine London's effort to reinvent itself as a vibrant hub for global equities. CRH, the world's biggest building materials company, on Thursday became the latest business to seek an exit from London, following in the footsteps of gambling group Flutter, whose shareholders are due to vote on a secondary U.S. listing in April. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.